This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Anchoring with ranges instead of single figures, when and why it works. Why your first number in a negotiation matters more than your final one. In short, anchoring with ranges gives you flexibility without surrendering control of where a negotiation begins. Done well, it pulls outcomes toward your position while appearing collaborative. Done poorly, it tells the other side exactly what you will settle for. A range anchor only works when both ends are defensible, not arbitrary. The lower figure in your range becomes the psychological floor for the conversation. Most people set their range too wide and hand the other party a target. Definition anchoring with ranges is the negotiation approach, where you open with a span of figures rather than a single number. The range establishes a reference point that shapes the other party's expectations, while the structure of the range signals both your ambition and your flexibility. You thought you were being reasonable. You gave a salary range instead of a single number because it felt less confrontational, more open to conversation. The hiring manager nodded, asked a couple of questions, and came back with an offer at the exact bottom of the range you named. You accepted, because after all, it was within what you said you wanted. That is how anchoring with ranges can quietly work against you. Not with drama. Not with a hard no. Just with a quiet agreement that lands somewhere you never intended to stay. Range anchoring is one of the most misunderstood tools in a negotiation. People use it thinking it signals confidence and collaboration. Sometimes it does. But more often, they use it without understanding what the structure of a range communicates to the other side. After this, you will know the difference. Why range anchoring the stakes are so hard to catch. The reason these errors persist is simple, they feel like good judgment. Giving a range seems more sophisticated than planting a single number. It signals that you have thought about the situation from multiple angles. It avoids the awkwardness of a hard ask. What it also does, without you realizing, is tell the other party where your floor is. They are not aiming for the middle of your range. They are aiming for the bottom. And when they land there, neither side registers it as a failure. This is what makes range anchoring mistakes so costly. The outcome looks acceptable. The discomfort you expected never arrived. You walk away thinking the tool worked, when in fact it was used against you from the moment you opened your mouth. The mistakes that undermine how range anchoring works. 1. Setting the lower end of your range at your actual acceptable minimum. What it looks like. You name a range of £45,000 to £55,000. Because £45,000 is genuinely where you would accept an offer. Why it happens? People confuse transparency with strategy. They name their true floor because it feels honest and fair. Why it matters? The other party hears one number, £45,000. They anchor there and present it as meeting your terms. You have done their work for them. What to do? Set your lower figure above your true minimum by a margin that gives you room to concede without losing ground. Your real floor stays private. Eamon's note. I gave my real floor once, in a contract negotiation in my 40s. The other side accepted it within 30 seconds. That silence told me everything. 2. Making the range too wide. What it looks like. You offer a range of £40,000 to £65,000, thinking the breadth shows flexibility. Why it happens. Uncertainty about the market leads people to hedge. A wide range feels like it covers all possibilities. Why it matters. A range wider than roughly 15 to 20% reads as poor preparation or desperation. It tells the other party you do not know your own value, and it gives them permission to anchor hard at the bottom. What to do? Narrow your range before you enter the room. Research the market ceiling and set both ends within a defensible band. Precision earns respect. Breadth invites exploitation. Eamon's note. A wide range is not flexibility. It is a confession that you have not done your homework. 3. Failing to justify either end of the range. What it looks like. You name a range and stop there, offering no rationale for either figure. Why it happens. People believe a number speak for themselves, or they fear that explaining their reasoning will seem defensive. Why it matters. An unjustified range is an arbitrary range. It holds no psychological weight. The other party feels no pull toward the upper figure, because nothing connects it to real value. What to do? Prepare a one-sentence rationale for each end of your range before you negotiate. The upper figure needs a reason. The lower figure needs a reason. They do not need to be long, but they need to exist. Eamon's note. A number without a story is just a number. A number with a reason behind it becomes a reference point for anchoring below the other party's budget without knowing it. What it looks like. You anchor with a range of £50,000 to £60,000 when the employer had budgeted up to £65,000 and never tells you why it happens. This is the non-obvious one. Most people assume that anchoring low signals cooperation. They never consider they might be anchoring below what the other side was already prepared to offer. Why it matters. You leave real money or value on the table, not because the other party drove you down, but because you started the conversation below their ceiling. They accept happily. You never know what you gave away. This is exactly why advanced persuasion principles in high-stakes professional messaging emphasize understanding the other party's position before you open. What to do? Research the top of the market, not just the middle. Your upper figure should sit at or near what the market genuinely supports at its ceiling, not at what feels comfortable to ask for. Eamon's note. The most expensive mistakes I've made in negotiation were not the ones where I asked for too much. They were the ones where I asked for too little and was accepted immediately. 5. Using a range as a substitute for preparation. What it looks like. You name a range because you are not sure of the right number and the range feels like a safe way to hedge. Why it happens. A range can masquerade as strategy when it is actually uncertainty. The two feel almost identical from the inside. Why it matters. The other party senses the difference. A confident range delivered with rationale pulls them toward your position. An uncertain range delivered as a hedge invites pressure on every figure you named. What to do? If you find yourself reaching for a range because you do not know your number, stop. Do the research first. A range is a tool for strategic flexibility, not a cover for being underprepared. Eamon's note. There is a difference between choosing a range and hiding behind one. The person across the table usually knows which one you are doing. 6. Abandoning the upper figure too quickly under pressure. What it looks like. The other party pushes back on your upper figure, and you drop to the lower end immediately to keep the conversation moving. Why it happens. Discomfort with tension. People mistake conceding on the upper figure for being reasonable when they are actually collapsing their own anchor. Learning to stay grounded during tense workplace conversations directly applies here. Why it matters. When you surrender the top of your range at the first sign of resistance, you signal that the upper figure was never serious. From that point forward, your lower figure becomes the new ceiling in that other party's mind. What to do? Hold your upper figure through at least one round of pushback. Acknowledge their concern without conceding the number. A response such as, I understand that's higher than you expected, and I want to explain why I believe it reflects the value here cost nothing and preserves your position. Eamon's note. Holding ground under pressure is not stubbornness. It is the difference between an anchor and a suggestion. 7. Naming a range when precision would serve you better. What it looks like. You offer a range in a negotiation where a single, specific figure would project more confidence and carry more anchoring force. Why it happens. Range anchoring gets taught as a universally superior approach. It is not. There are situations, particularly where you have strong market data and a clear position, where a precise number anchors far more powerfully than a span. Why it matters. A specific figure signals preparation and certainty. A range, in those same conditions, can signal doubt. Choosing a range when a single number would be stronger is a mistake dressed up as sophistication. This connects directly to understanding how to de-escalate arguments during meetings when a confident anchor meets hard resistance. What to do? Ask yourself before you negotiate, do I have strong enough data to name a precise figure? If yes, consider whether a range adds anything or simply weakens the anchor. Use ranges for relationship-sensitive conversations and situations with genuine value and certainty. Eamon's note. I spent years thinking ranges were always the smarter choice. The real skill is knowing when they are and when they are not. The root of most range anchoring problems. Step back from the individual mistakes and a single pattern emerges. Most people use ranges to manage their own discomfort, not to serve their negotiation strategy. A range feels less aggressive. It sounds more open. It reduces the fear of rejection that comes with naming a single bold number. The psychology driving the choice is almost always about emotional safety rather than tactical positioning. That is the root of it. When you understand that, you can catch yourself before you name a range for the wrong reasons. The question to ask is not should I give a range, but am I giving a range because it is strategically right, or because I am afraid to commit to a number? The answer to that question will tell you more about your anchoring approach than any framework ever could. For moments when that discomfort spills into a reactive or defensive place, the core framework for staying calm under pressure offers a method you can apply directly. A quick diagnostic. Is your range anchoring working for you? Read each statement. Answer yes or no honestly. My law figure is above my true minimum, not equal to it. I can state a one-sentence rationale for my upper figure without hesitating. I research the market ceiling, not just the average, before setting my upper end. My range spans no more than 20% between lower and upper figures. I chose a range deliberately, not because I was uncertain of the right number. I have held my upper figure through at least one round of pushback before moving. I can explain why a range serves this specific negotiation better than a precise figure. Scoring 6-7 yes. Your range anchoring approach is sound. The discipline is there. Refine the rationale behind each figure. 4-5 yes. You have the right instincts, but gaps in execution. Focus on the NOS, starting with whichever represents the most recent negotiation you felt uncertain about. 3 or few yes. Your ranges are likely working against you more often than for you. Before your next negotiation, decide your true floor privately, add a clear buffer above it, and narrow the span. Start there. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where to go from here? The first move is the simplest one. Before your next negotiation, write down 3 numbers privately: your true minimum, your realistic target, and your aspirational ceiling. Your range anchor should sit between the realistic target and the aspirational ceiling, with your true minimum never entering the conversation. That single discipline fixes most of the mistakes above. It forces you to research the ceiling. It separates your emotional floor from your strategic floor. It gives both ends of your range a clear purpose. From there, practice defending the upper figure out loud before you need to. Rehearse the rationale until it sounds natural rather than rehearsed. If you want to deepen your understanding of how disagreements about value and position get resolved, the DEAL method for resolving disagreements at work applies directly to the pushback phase of any anchor-based conversation. For moments when the conversation turns genuinely adversarial and two parties reach an impasse, the DEAL method for diffusing tension between colleagues who refuse to cooperate offers a practical path forward. And when nuance and tone in a high-stakes exchange matter as much as the figures themselves, the principles of advanced feedback techniques for high-stakes conversations will give you tools that complement everything covered here. Anchoring with ranges is a genuine skill, but like most skills, it only works when you understand what it is actually doing. Now you do. Frequently asked questions. What is anchoring with ranges in negotiation? Anchoring with ranges means opening a negotiation with a span of figures rather than a single number. The lower end of your range typically lands near what you would accept, while the upper end sets the aspirational target. It signals flexibility while still pulling the negotiation in your direction. When does anchoring with ranges work better than a single figure? Range anchoring works best when you want to appear collaborative, when the relationship matters as much as the outcome, or when you lack strong market data to justify a precise figure. A well-constructed range still pulls the final number toward your position without seeming aggressive or rigid. What are the signs that my range anchor is too wide? If the other party immediately accepts your lower figure, your range was too wide, and you left value behind. A range wider than roughly 15 to 20% signals desperation or poor preparation, and gives the other side permission to push hard towards your floor rather than your ceiling. Can anchoring with ranges backfire in a negotiation? Yes, if your range starts too low, it anchors the conversation at a disadvantage. If it is too wide, the other party targets the bottom. If the range feels arbitrary rather than reasoned, it loses credibility entirely. Ranges only work when both ends are defensible with clear rationale. How do you set the upper end of a range anchor? Your upper figure should be ambitious, but arguable. You need to be able to explain why that number is reasonable, even if you do not expect to achieve it. An upper figure you cannot defend collapses your credibility and weakens the entire anchor, including the lower end. Does range anchoring work in salary negotiations? Range anchoring in salary negotiation works when your lower figure already exceeds the employer's budget or expectation. If your floor is below what they were prepared to offer, you have anchored against yourself. Always research the market ceiling before setting the lower end of your salary range. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling books 8 Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.